This is the University of Georgia Griffin News, brought to you over WKU AM 1450, 102.3 FM, The Rock 88.9 FM, and stream live on WKUradio.com. This program is to update our listeners on the many and exciting things at the University of Georgia Griffin with Dr. Lou Honeycutt and his guests. The program is made possible by Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farms and Murray & Company Realtors. And now today's program with Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Art Cain, let's talk, same thing, let's tell the Art Cain story.
Well, you know, every time somebody asks me to tell them about myself, I say, do you really want to know?
We do want to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know. So, I was born in Covington, Kentucky, which is right across the river from Cincinnati, Ohio.
People know that particular
community. On my mother's side, we have a long history in Kentucky. But I grew up, in addition to Covington, in a place called Morristown, Tennessee, which is in East Tennessee. And so I claim Morristown, Tennessee as a hometown. But I've been around. I've been a lot of places. I went did my undergraduate work in Nashville, Tennessee,
okay.
and I did graduate work in New York. Prior to coming to UGA, I've been here at UGA since 2000.
Okay.
So I've been here quite some time, and I love it. It's the my dream job to a large extent. But prior to that, I was at Clark Atlanta for 2 years in Atlanta. And then prior to that, and some people might give
uh-oh.
Me a...
Uh-oh.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. I know I'm getting prepared.
I was at the University of Tennessee for 10 years.
Oh. Well, could have been worse. You could have said, like, Georgia Tech.
I could have said Georgia Tech.
I say that because Tony in his Georgia Tech shirt, but...
But we did... I was in the Department of Independent Study.
Okay.
Which embraced a whole lot, from distance education kind of stuff to correspondence courses to being associated with other kinds of continuing education programs like the evening school. There was an evening school there and so on. And then prior to that, I really wasn't a continuing educator. I taught economics. So,
oh, wow. I didn't know it. See, I learned something new every time I do this show with people.
And you're on the same campus there. You know,
absolutely.
He's one of your guys.
I know. I had no idea that. That's cool.
Yeah, so that's the Cliff Notes version.
That's cool. No, that's awesome. Yeah. I like to do this with everyone that comes on, y'all included, but particularly our researchers.
And I might mention one other thing.
Absolutely.
My father's family is from Georgia. So I always say I am a Georgian because... he had 9 brothers and sisters, and through the 20th century, they moved from Hancock County to Milledgeville to the Atlanta area. So I have strong Georgia roots.
Well,
I'm a Georgian, too.
Well, there you go.
I noticed his accent.
I did, too. It seemed a little more Georgian than Tennessee or anything like, or Kentucky or anything like that. But so one of the reasons I like doing these introductions is for every guest, but certainly a lot of our researchers who are international, I really like people to get the flavor of what the campus is. So, you know, y'all are Pennsylvania and Georgia / Kentucky. I mean, and I'm Texas. So, I mean, there's a lot of flavor in Griffin, Spalding County. But so let's talk tourism. I say the word wrong all the time. Elizabeth, who's listening, I know, kids me that I say tour. You know, I'm from Texas, so I'm learning how to say tour. So let's talk tourism. I'm trying to do better. Bonnie, you're on the Chamber of Commerce Tourism Committee with a big group of other people, I know.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk the Tourism Committee. What's the? It's kind of tongue-in-cheek to ask, but what's the purpose of the Tourism Committee?
Well, of course, it is to promote the city and the county and all the wonderful assets that we have that can draw people to this area and to focus on getting them publicized and making sure that we have, through those different opportunities, that we have things that people will want to come and see. So we work very hard to do that because tourism is an economic driver for our community.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. And really, I think it's only second to agriculture in the state for the amount of money. It was like $68 billion a year or something like that
yes.
in tourism. Mm-hmm. And certainly with the movie industry growing in Georgia. It's been here for a long time.
Did you say million or billion?
Billion. I think it's second only to agriculture in the state.
Because there are a lot of aspects to tourism that we don't particularly think about that draw people here, and that is through, like, arts continuing education program, the recreation department. So there are just a number of things.
Sure. And, you know, people tell me a lot of times, or and not so much anymore, but there's just nothing to do in Griffin. And I chastise them repeatedly when
Follow
someone says that.
Follow me around for a day.
Because I'm telling you, with the arts, there is, you don't have to look very far to find something to do in Griffin, whether it's at the University of Georgia Griffin campus or downtown or at the auditorium. So there's tons to promote for tourism here. And so art, you know, a lot of people might say, well, why are y'all doing a Griffin Campus News on tourism? But the continuing ed group, let me give you a broad-based look. The campus as a whole last year served 32,500 people. So, and people are saying, wait a minute, you don't have that many students. I'm not saying students. I'm saying in everything we do, and a great majority of those, that number comes through continuing education, comes through art shop. And so it does play a big important role. And so Art, let's talk about that. How is the Griffin campus impacting Spalding County with tourism?
Well, you mentioned number of people served, and out of continuing education over the last few years, we serve, it depends on the business cycle, but we've served between 23,000 to 29,000 people per year. So that's a pretty large number for a relatively small office.
Absolutely.
But it's not just our office, and I think sometimes people misunderstand that. We work with other units on campus. The reason why people come to do continuing education here in Griffin or do a program here or do a training here in large part is because of the great research that goes on here at the University of Georgia. We partner with those units to be able to do programs that will bring people here to Griffin. So, and I think, Bonnie, you made a great point. A lot of times you don't associate institutions like ours, universities, with tourism and with visitors. That would be false because, the programs we offer. In fact, I saw something I read maybe yesterday. If you talk to tourism people, they kind of categorize the tourist, business traveler or leisure traveler. But we're kind of hybrid, and they came up with a blend called Blizzard. Traveler. So we get that category, a lot of times. And I think, Lou, our numbers sometimes don't are on the low end, and I'll tell you why. When it comes to tourism, a lot of times people come to our programs, and what we count are the people who come, the participants, the registrations, that kind of thing. But they bring their families.
You bet.
They bring their friends. Those families and friends go and they eat at our restaurants, and they look at, do some shopping around town, they buy gas and so on. So the numbers are probably even higher.
Exactly.
Than what we just quoted.
We used to joke in Texas, so Bonnie, you have to close yours. This is a Chamber of Commerce joke, but we used to joke in Texas when I was there about we'd look at our numbers and then we'd use the Chamber of Commerce value and multiply by six. because of that fact, you can't look at just who attended an event. You've got to look at what they brought to the community. And if you look at the university in general, the university estimates that for the campus being in Spalding County, that it has an economic impact of about $15 million. And certainly we know from continuing ed, three to five, it depends on the year, but several million dollars are directly attributed to continuing ed because of that wide sweeping, $1 goes six places, not just right on the campus.
Well, business and industry do the same thing because the industries will bring people in and they'll want to show them around. They may be having meetings, corporate meetings or whatever, and they bring their families here, and then they'll come to the chamber and they'll say, what is there to do here in Griffin and Spalding County? So they're doing the same thing. So it's everybody is drawing into this community. And another fact is that Spalding County is touched by eight other counties,
right,
which is a little unusual because you don't always find that. So we're a draw in, even for people who are visiting those other counties.
Sure. And then add to that, we are the right direction from the airport.
That's right.
You know, we're south of the airport, about 40 minutes, which you can be in Midtown and not get to the airport in 40 minutes.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a great, you know, I always saw this when I was looking to interview and come here as what a great weekend getaway. What a great, you know, we ought to be bringing in, we're trying to do that, the Midtown folks down here. We don't necessarily want them to all move here and stay, but let's go and come spend money and then go home. That's kind of a neat part of what we can do.
Well, I have a little saying that I've just sort of made up myself. It's like, where being in the middle is a good thing. We're between
exactly.
Atlanta and Macon, really. So, you know, you can't lose. We're close to the airport, and we're close to a lot of other things. So we're just sort of in the middle, and we need to capitalize on that.
And we're also not that far from Columbus.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
No, that's true. Griffin's, even from the university standpoint, we have the Tifton campus down south, which is in truly row crop ag country. Then we have the Athens campus, and then we have Griffin. And a lot of times Griffin is looked as, well, it's really not an ag campus. Well, it is the consummate ag campus, because you turn north in my office, you're in metro Atlanta with all the urban ag issues that we have.
Right.
You turn south in my office, you're in rural Georgia. It's the perfect place to be for the issues that we deal with every day, which again includes the tourism component. We bring in people all the time. I mean, Art Shop did the turf grass field day last year, and then also the agroforestry and wildlife field day. They brought in, I think, almost 1,000 in one and about 400 at the other. All those, not all, most of those people stayed overnight, did
right.
the tourism thing, did whatever they wanted to do and spent money.
And I will also say we did Dow Chemical Field Days
exactly.
last year. We did a couple of those. So just our field day events by themselves, those Dow Field Days were multiple days. So, you know, that was huge in terms of field days, and we're going to do another one this year. We have coming in July, I don't know if this is a little premature to announce, but coming in July, PBI Garden, which is similar to Dow Chemical. Those agroforestry and wildlife field day and turf grass research field days, those were events hosted by internal groups but open to the public.
Sure.
The Dow and PBI Garden are companies that come here to do their field day, and
right.
we help facilitate that. So,
yeah, and Dow brought a whole bunch of people last year. Yeah,
absolutely.
It was pretty awesome to see that happen.
Agritourism is getting to be a big thing, and at this point, Spalding County is not on the state agritourism trail, but they're working on that, so they've been made aware of it, so hopefully that will come to fruition. But that is one area. There are just so many facets to tourism. It's just amazing.
Absolutely. When you consider, and I love that you brought up the agritourism thing, because it's becoming across the nation such a big thing, because people want to get back and see how things used to look or how things work. And agriculture fascinates people that aren't in agriculture, because they don't understand how broad-based it is.
Right.
For us, and we have, we've really shattered all the walls that people thought we had to keep people out of the campus. I don't think people think that anymore, because people are on campus all the time.
You are right.
And it's been great. I mean, it's taken us a while to get that done. And with the Dundee Cafe opening very soon, by the way, that will really take all the reasons out not to come to campus.
Farm to table.
Farm to table, absolutely. And then we have across the interstate, or across the expressway, as both you know, an incredible research and education garden, which for a long time people have associated with being public but not being part of the campus, which I didn't understand, but it is, and it's an incredible agritourism stop for pollinators, for you name it, for blueberries. You know, Georgia may not always be the number one in peaches every year like we want to be, but we are number one in blueberries, and one of the reasons that we are is because of research done by Scott Neesmith on our campus. Well, there's demonstration blueberries, there's ornamental blueberries, there's blueberries like the size of apples, he got all kind of blueberries out at the garden. So, I mean, it's a wonderful component, I think, for the tourism committee, for the city, for the county.
The chamber has long promoted the education and
absolutely.
Research garden, because it is such a fascinating place, and with all the individual gardens, the iris garden or the rose garden or even the rock garden, you know, there's an appeal for everybody there, and especially now that you have a building that people can go in and hold classes or have meetings, that has added a lot to being able to attract people.
You bet. And
weddings. there have been weddings
sure.
there.
I mean, it's an incredible setting. It changes all the time. I mean, it's beautiful year-round, and, right. and we will continue to make it be
yes.
that, too. It's 64
yes.
acres. We hope to continue to expand it and make it even more incredible. So we're bragging about the university, which is great, but let's brag about Griffin Spalding County a little bit. I'm an outsider because, you know, I haven't been here 47 years. I've been here 3.5 years, but I don't think – no one thinks they went to school with me. I'm too old. I don't know.
Well, me too.
But what I did see, and a lot of – and probably, Bonnie, you asked me this too, but a lot of people in Griffin asked me early on and still do, what do you see – how do you see Griffin Spalding County? Because you see it with different eyes, and I do. I don't have a history here. I don't know. I don't, and I'm going to say this tongue in cheek a little bit. I don't care what history went on here, other than like Doc Holliday history and cool
right.
stuff. But what I do see is an incredible community, an incredible county, and an incredible downtown, which I'm telling you is a draw and should continue to be a draw. Because I don't know. There's very few downtowns like ours that exist anymore.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things that sort of brought us here. We came for because we could live anywhere in the state of Georgia, but it was close to the airport for one thing.
Sure.
We came from a town about the same size. The tree-lined streets downtown were just, you know, so appealing, and being able to go down and park and walk and shop the way, although shopping downtown is different than what it used to
sure,
be.
Sure.
But that's okay. Everything, you know, evolves and comes around. But yes, we do have a great downtown. We have a great city park.
Absolutely.
How many communities right. have a city park practically within walking distance of the downtown?
Exactly.
Right behind the hospital.
Right, exactly.
So if you're
it's a good place to be. Yeah.
It is. But anyhow, so there's a lot. And our downtown lends itself to a lot of the movie industry because of the architectural buildings.
Exactly.
And the way that our town is laid out. So therefore, we have had a lot of movies made here in Griffin. There is going to be a nice brochure, because we now have markers in the sidewalks downtown.
I was hoping you were going to mention
of
I love
all
those.
The movies that were made here in Griffin. They're going to have to expand because there are being more and more. So, you know, we'll have to have some more
sure.
of those. But, you know, for people who Driving Miss Daisy has probably been
absolutely.
The most favorite. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember watching, you know, some of those scenes. There was a made for movie for a TV movie that was filmed here, where Burt Reynolds had an ice cream shop downtown. It was called Miss Letty and Me, and that was great because that drew a lot of folks, but he and Mary Tyler Moore. So there have been, you know, just Fried Green Tomatoes. Murder in Coweta County was another one of the first, and so a lot of that took place at the old Spalding County Courthouse that is on Broad Street, that still has the gallows upstairs,
right,
believe
right.
me. So, but anyhow, it's there have just been so many here, but it does lend itself to having movies here. And now with the department at Southern Crescent that's teaching the movie industry and the trades, that is just all coming around, and people will be able to capitalize on that. But aside from that, we have, just like on College and Maple and any number of other places, we have 15 homes that have been identified that are on the National Register of Historic Places.
And they're beautiful.
They're
incredible. Gorgeous,
and
yeah.
so hopefully we would develop some sort of a brochure that people could take a driving tour of that. And you mentioned Doc Holliday.
Absolutely.
Of course, that was one thing I didn't know when I moved here, but rapidly found out. I'm a member of the First Presbyterian Church, and Doc was baptized at the First Presbyterian Church.
Very cool.
And so you can go back in the records and look and see, you know, when he was baptized. But for years, people really didn't identify with Doc.
Sure, sure.
Simply because I think the movie industry kind of made him out to be a villain and a drunk and
sure.
a gunslinger, and not sure all that was true, whether it is or not, neither here nor there. He was born here.
Exactly.
And it's a good tourism thing. And so a couple of years ago, along with Dick Morrow and another whole group of people, folks got together, and now there are markers erected around. There are seven positively identifiable places that were associated with the Holiday family that we can prove, because you don't want to advertise something you can't.
Exactly.
You know, take your paper.
It's easy to put something online.
Yeah, you can say it, but is it really true? Well, these are true. But anyhow, those markers have been erected, and you can take a driving tour in Griffin, and they're not all that far apart. So, but it's very interesting. And so we just have, you know, our historic cemetery, Dick and several other people have gotten together, and we have now have a wonderful Robert Worley was a driver in this, and Cindy Barton, the archivist, helped to do a cemetery brochure, a small one. There is a regular book that you can purchase at $5 if you want to know the history of it, but this at least tells you where to go in the historic cemeteries and look around. So that's a sampling of just a few of those historic things that have gone on, and there are some newer things that are coming up.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you about bouldering.
Oh, that sounds cool. I don't even know what that is, but
it's across from you.
Well, cool. Well, something. Let's. I want to move back to movie making for just a minute, but just because South Metro is becoming so, and we are, I consider us South Metro, but South Metro is becoming so critical from Fayetteville all the way around to the Crescent. But we have a particular interest in filmmaking on the campus because there are these things that we get paid called I call them zombie dollars when this particular group of zombies comes to campus, and The Walking Dead does film all around Griffin, but on the Griffin campus as well. They use the Bullet Factory and several other sites. But and where I like it, I mean, I'm kind of greedy. Where I like it is, to be honest with you, I hate to say this to all the WD fans out there, I've never watched the show. But I love the show. I think it's an incredible show. And the reason I do is because every time they come on campus, they send the university a check.
Right.
And we get to use that money. It's very rare that you get discretionary funding. And
right.
So movie money, the university takes a cut, not a giant cut. Whatever they send me back, I get to with a group, I don't just mandate it, but I get to say, let's do something with this money. And we've allotted it to campus improvement. And I think both of y'all sitting here, not just because I'm saying it, but our campus has improved greatly over the last 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of people, effort go into this, grounds crew, facilities. But we truly fit now the mold of a university campus, and certainly a University of Georgia university campus. I attribute a whole bunch of that to zombie dollars.
Right.
So we love The Walking Dead.
Right. Well, I know when I moved here, the UGA campus was like, it was the experiment station where they did things that nobody could go in and look around. And so it's been wonderful and gradual to see that. And then came the, after the Olympics, I think that really brought things around. And I remember Dr. Arkin calling and saying, we have a chance to get the Ag Pavilion down here that was in Olympic Park. How can we do that? And so we talked about ways, and then to see that finally erected there, I mean, that's just really a part of history on campus.
Well, what it shows, and I think that's a really great point. I didn't pay you to even bring that up, but I should have. Griffin, Spalding County have supported the experiment station since 1889 when the gates opened. We were approved in 1888, opened in 1889, because of a donation of land and money by Spalding County as the Bates Farm. But since that time, every time something's come up, this is a community that bands together. And there is a source of pride to have a UGA campus in your community. And we're proud to be here, so it works both ways. But the pavilion was at the 96 Olympics. It was the state's agriculture pavilion. It was an incredible structure built out of, at the time, kind of experimental timbers, which has come to haunt us a little bit, but after 20-some years. But it was an incredible component, not too far from where the bomb went off. That was the Olympics that had a bomb go off. But the next year, or a year and a half after that, and Jerry Arkin, my predecessor, was a big mover in that, the community came together and paid to have that structure erected on the Griffin campus.
Right.
It is now named after one of the first women in food science that is truly famous across the country, Naomi Chapman Woodruff, and it is our pavilion. And it is the most, we have incredibly beautiful places all across campus, but there is none that just makes me feel better than going into the pavilion. It's an incredible structure and a beautiful set of giant trees. It's where our graduation ceremony, all of our graduates lay a brick in there, as well as the donors that brought the building to campus. So it's a great draw for tourists as well.
Well, another note that it didn't happen in Spalding County, but it's in Lamar County, I believe, where the Batten family lived, and some of the pecan trees there were used to make the handles for the Olympic torches that year.
That's cool. That's the kind of race like
yeah.
that. Well, I tell you what, on that, let's segue to our bottom of the hour commercials. We'll come back and talk way more about University of Georgia and tourism and Griffin Spalding County.
You're listening to the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News on AM 1450 WKEU, also heard on 102.3 FM and 88.9 FM The Rock. We're streaming live on the web at WKEUradio.com, and you can take us with you wherever you go, courtesy of the free WKEU app available for all smartphone and tablet devices. Our morning program will continue after this.
Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realty. Proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus and proud to bring you this week's edition of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. As the UGA Griffin Campus grows with the great educational opportunities for our children, Round Oak Resources Tree Farm is growing our future with trees to support and assist our environment. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors are proud supporters of the UGA Griffin Campus and area youth activities in Griffin and Spalding County.
Time to take a tour of this morning's University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. For that, let us return to our host of the program. He is the Campus Director and Assistant Provost, Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Thank you, Tony. That's a great segue. I caught that about your tour.
Awesome. The song is from "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning" from The King and I.
Oh, very cool. Oh, wow. There you go. I was commenting on how pretty the music was. But welcome back to the show today. We are talking with Bonnie Frogner, Griffin Spalding Chamber of Commerce Tourism Committee and former Chamber of Commerce Executive Director, and Art Kane, who's our coordinator at the UGA Griffin Campus in the Department of Continuing Education. So, Bonnie, right before we went to break, you were talking about bouldering. And you bowled me over. So
what is bouldering? Well, let me just give you a little background. Sure. In 2016, the chamber had privy to invite the Georgia Department of Economic Development Tourism Product Development Resource Team to come to Griffin. And what they did is they came in and spent a couple of days, and we toured all around, looked at all the wonderful things that were here, and then their eyes were new, and so they saw some opportunities that we perhaps didn't even recognize. One of those was the quarry,
sure,
which is off Quilly Street. And so they said that would be a great location for bouldering. Well, bouldering, I looked it up to make sure I knew. I thought I knew because I thought it had to do with boulders. But it's a rock climbing on smaller structures. On the smaller formations, and the people do it really without equipment. They might use the spike shoes, but they don't use other equipment.
Okay.
Anyhow, they're working on that through the Parks and Leisure Services, and that will be the southernmost point for bouldering in the South. So I just found that to be very interesting, so I'm anxious. So people will want to know, aside from pickleball, which has become a big, big sport.
I'm telling
sport,
you, I had no idea what that was until I moved to Georgia.
My little hometown in Somerset, Pennsylvania, who has less than 10,000 people, has pickleball. I didn't know that, so I'm anxious to hear that. But pickleball draws a tremendous number of folks in this community, as do other sports tournaments like baseball, softball, basketball, football. All those things. So they all draw, and we can capitalize on that for tourism as well.
Sure. So bouldering, we have to add that to the list. And that's not far from campus. It's across the street and down. I haven't been to the quarry yet. I keep wanting to go over there, but just to look at it. Because there's running water. There's lots. In the middle of Griffin. I mean, it's kind of a unique setting. So that's really great. So we've got Which a couple of movies which we didn't mention, which we need to, is across the street from us where Dundee Mills set, which of course is the benefactor for the Dundee Cafe on campus, but was the Dundee number one of the mills that during Hunger Games, Mockingjay, and this is before my time, but I'm told they put train cars up and stuff where no one could see what was going on, and they blew part of it up. And I always say, I've said from the time I got here, I wish they hadn't have blown it up because it was an incredible structure that could have become something else. But I'm sure it made some money for the city, county, and tourism and everything else. Plus, we get to say it was Mockingjay, Hunger Games Mockingjay that did that. And then Tony just told us that Captain America Civil War, part of it was filmed at the airport. And that's awesome. I didn't know that. So that's a new – and that, you know, people – Sonoy is a great example of this. People come – because of the thought that you know, some movie star stood where they stood. I mean, that's a great component of tourism.
Right.
Griffin has an abundance of that.
Yeah, and I'll just mention a couple of others, like The Hunger Games, The Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Fighting Temptations, and Selma, The Client, California Film, Paris Trout Film, I'll Fly Away, Murder in Mississippi.
Wow.
You know, Moonrunners, Moving On, a portion of Jumanji.
Yeah, the
was
second
filmed.
One.
The second one.
The first
part
one
of that
better.
Was here. And American Pickers.
Oh, yeah.
So there have just been a lot of interesting films here, bringing in a lot of... Oh, and then the one at Sun City recently with... can't remember her name, but they just filmed a one out there with...
So even Sun City's getting in the mix. That's cool.
Yes.
Not to exclude art, but Bonnie, being on the tourism committee, let me ask you this. You know, everybody would ask you, you know, what's the hidden gem of Griffin and Spalding County? Not going to ask that. Let's say that you have to go to some town that you are unfamiliar with. How do you go about finding the resources to find something to do if you have to be there for a day or two?
Well, of course, I would say the Chamber of Commerce. That is the major resource. However, now with today's technology, you go online and you Google everything. You can, and the Chamber has a website. They have calendar of events on there. So there is a lot of that they can find online.
And Art, would you say that the hidden gem, the one thing that not a whole lot of people know about that's got a great historical context, might be the Rosenwald School, which locally is in line for a refurbishment?
Absolutely, and we've been, the UGA campus has been very interested in that and helping to maybe even help define a new vision for that would be a part of the tourist interest of people coming here to Griffin. We think that is going to be something that once renovated and market it is going to be a great spot for tourism. Yeah,
you and seemingly half the campus were at a county commission meeting earlier.
That's right.
Where they discussed some of the renovation plans for the school.
Absolutely.
And there's the whole Heritage Park project is, excuse me, I think going to be huge in the tourism community across the nation. There's Rosenwald followers that come to these areas. Right. And again, they stay and they eat and they sleep and they do everything here.
They did a big thing with this tourism product development resource team. They focused on that a lot, too. So that was one thing that they did take a hard look at. But then we also have things like the plaques honoring our KIAs.
Absolutely.
And those are all downtown. The Military Affairs Committee also has done a tremendous service in keeping up their park on Memorial Drive.
Right.
And having things that refurbished there, adding names to plaques that were admitted, and things like that. So there are just so many things going on. Antique stores. We have quite a number of antique stores.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another draw because people like antiques. And there is an antique trail in the state of Georgia.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So we've been on that for a while. I guess we still are. But those are just some things that, you know, we tend to not really, because they're there and we see them every day, sure, we don't think about that.
Well, and that's why I think it's really important at times, and just like my eyes or this group size you're talking about, people that have lived here for a long time don't. I come from a very small part of Texas, a very small community. I never saw it as beautiful. There were no trees. It was until I left. And then when I would come back, the sunrise, the sunset, the beauty of the sky, everything that I didn't see growing up, I just saw all at once. But sometimes you have to get away or bring new vision to it and say, "This is, I see this differently, and here's why." And I see so much potential in Griffin.
I drove with my son from here to Nevada one summer, and going through each state, every one of them had something different, and it was just amazing. I found that, and they were all, you know, just, my eyes were just like
sure,
wide, because, wow, isn't that pretty? I mean, get to Albuquerque, and you see the lights at night were just fantastic.
Absolutely.
But Griffin, Georgia is just filled with opportunity, and so it's just, and like you, for people to say there's nothing to do,
it just tickles me almost now, because I'm like, what?
Right. The Griffin Area Arts Alliance continues to put out a calendar of the events that are happening for the first months. And tonight at the auditorium, the Concert Association is having Ronan Tynan perform, and that's at 7:30. He sang at Bush's funeral. And
wow,
so he is okay, a premier Irish tenor, and so that's going to be really significant to have folks like that come into the community for performances. Main Street Players, my goodness, we have Griffin Ballet Theater.
Absolutely, Griffin Choral Arts. I mean, we
Griffin
have two
Choral
two
Arts,
groups.
The high school drama teams, and like I mentioned, Main Street Players in June will be doing Hank Williams' Lost Highway. So for the country music fans, that should be a good one.
Right now, Griffin Players are doing Holmes and Watson, I think, because I haven't got my tickets
yet,
but I'm going to,
yes,
which is going to be great. But then on February 14th, we had the Natalie Cole show from the association, and it was incredible. I mean, people were just almost dancing in the aisles. But there's incredible amounts of things to do, and I think that's, if we get nothing else out today, people need to understand that you just got to look a little bit.
Well, and that's another thing, we have a huge auditorium in downtown Griffin. It's used to have, I think, about 1200 seats, but when they remodeled, they lost a few seats out of that. But I mean, there it is, right in the center of downtown. So if you want to come, you know, to an event, you don't have to really go very far. And it draws from everywhere. And I'll give you a statistic. Elaine Bolton, before she moved, was in charge of getting the ticket sales from all these groups that belong to the for performing arts and the other activities, and from November 2017 to June 2018, which is really the season for the for the arts, those groups brought in 12,305 people.
Wow,
which is a lot, and it's going to be more this year. Now, there's a formula to figure out exactly what the economic impact
sure,
on that
sure.
is. I don't have that, but it can be done, because I know that Kelly Carmichael with Leisure Services has that, and they can do that for all the sporting events that come
sure,
in.
Sure, sure.
So there's a way to do that. But I think that's phenomenal.
I think it's incredibly
Speaking
significant.
Speaking of history and sporting events, that's a little bit of shameless self-promotion. WKEU is the first station in America to broadcast high school football.
Is that right?
Wow.
That's awesome.
Started in 1935.
Good night. That's incredible. It's been going ever since. That's awesome.
Well, with various degrees of success.
That's awesome. See, another first for Griffin. Well, okay, Art, let's turn to continuing ed for a minute. We haven't purposely been leaving yet, but everything we're talking about affects you anyway.
Absolutely.
So for the people listening, I mean, we've talked 32,500 people, and 20,000 plus are come through your shop. And I want to let everybody know that's not an exaggerated number. We've really worked hard the last 3 years to, and in fact, it's narrowed somewhat, because we were counting a few internal things that were like meetings I had that right. we don't count anymore. Right. So that 32,500, I'm going to say, is probably not quite accurate on the low side, but mm-hmm. but that's still an incredible. And these are external people coming right. in, not internal, right. not the meetings. And we have, if we added internal, it's about 30,000 more because of all the things that we do. And some of those are overnight. Right. I don't count those. I just want to talk external. Mm-hmm. So give people kind of a taste for the kind of things that come in that maybe be the multi-day or that and you got a big one coming up, I know, pretty soon in May that comes up every year. But let's give a taste for what continuing ed is.
Well, taste is a good word because our programs, the events we have on campus are diverse. So, for example, in the next probably 3 to 4 weeks, we'll have testing on campus from Georgia Cyber Academy and also from Georgia Connections. They'll come for one will come for about a week and another one will come for a couple weeks. The great thing is they come, they bring their kids. These two groups are large groups.
They are.
They bring their kids. The kids are of age where you have to have a parent or a guardian or somebody bring them to campus. And then what we've encouraged them to do is get out into the community.
Go shop,
go to our restaurants, come back and get your kids after that. And so that's something that most people wouldn't think about being an event held on the Griffin campus, but that is. Again, diversity. We've got coming in May a partnership kind of program with the Institute for Disaster Management on the Athens campus and with the Georgia Department of Health. They'll be here for a three-day event, and we're happy to have that event on campus. And then what I think the state gets a lot of credit for, and we have a small part in that, and it is an international conference that we do, and we've been doing since probably 2002, that brings 70 to 80 people in. Right now we've got registrations approaching 50, and we have not, we don't shut down registration, so, and it's not until the week before Memorial Day. I can't remember exactly the week. I think around the 20th okay. of May. But we'll get participants for that workshop from all over the world. And I always tell people, we get participants from every continent except Antarctica, and nobody lives on Antarctica.
Right.
So it's something where people who come from around the world, where they come and what they see as U.S. is Griffin, Georgia.
Exactly.
They will spend the lion's share of their time at Griffin, Georgia. And so you'll see those folks around around the community. We have them on campus for most of the day, but then they go out. They buy gobs of stuff to take back.
Exactly.
They eat their dinner meals in particular. We have catering services that we use for some of the meals that they have. And it's an example, again, also of, we mentioned earlier, the field days. This is an example of a software package that was developed at University of Georgia, primarily on the Griffin campus, and is used worldwide. Folks come here to get training on that particular software. Package.
Absolutely, and I think that's great. So, I mean, international flair, tons of people, and a lot of times I'm asked, well, what does Griffin campus contribute back to Griffin? Well, again, I've told you about $15 million, but it's certainly through continuing education, 3 to 5, it depends on the year, but certainly several millions of dollars. And I think that's an incredible partnership with the community. And to bring these people in, again, DSAT's a great example, this one in May, the international one. I haven't talked to each one of them, but I don't see many that aren't very impressed with what they see on the campus and around the things they do off campus. And I think that's kind of a misconception of people maybe that have lived here a long time, is there's really nothing to see here either, and it's not the prettiest, or I don't know, what all these things that go through people's minds. we got to stop looking at, if you've lived here your whole life, what you think and what people that come in think. And it's very different.
It is.
And when I talk to the participants who come to DSAT, that international program, they almost feel like Griffin is home.
Right.
Once they've spent a week, 10 days, a lot of them don't want to leave. We've had folks who hung around a little while because they just enjoyed the experience. They got comfortable with the area. They got comfortable with the city. They want to get out. They want to go downtown. They want to go out to the businesses on. They stay generally at the hotels.
Sure.
Out on North Expressway. And so they go to some of those businesses on North Expressway, but they don't want to be limited to that particular area. They go all over Griffin. So,
and that's one of the things that, and I know we are addressing it, but to have lodging places other than on North Expressway is so critical, in my opinion, and we're getting that. We're already starting that process, but because what we want are people from Midtown. I'm going to pick on Midtown again. We want that weekender to come from Midtown, stay in the downtown area, shop, eat, play, and then go home. Well, they've got it. They don't want to stay on North Expressway. That's where they came from. They want to stay in a quaint setting somewhere else.
Well, and the Chamber and Tourism Group has been members of Presidential Pathways, which is the state has broken up areas, and we are listed in Presidential Pathways.
Very cool.
So we're members of that, but we also joined the Atlanta Metro Travel Association in thinking that people are more likely to come south than they are to come north.
Sure.
Because when you get down to Plains and all those areas, people tend to get stuck down there, you know, at Columbus and Warm Springs, and are they going to come up here?
Sure.
So we really have to work to, you know, to get some things going. But that's been the majority of what we're looking at, is to try and capitalize on all those things. Because with, like, the Griffin Spalding Athletic Hall of Fame, I mean, we have a lot of famous
Absolutely.
Athletes from this community. And that is a gem, and sort of something that not everybody is
Exactly.
aware of. So we've got that. But then there's an activity that's going to be starting in downtown Griffin April the 13th. They'll be starting it's called the Second Saturdays.
Okay.
And there'll be activities, I think they begin at 5 o'clock in downtown. So they'll have different themes. It's arts this month, and then I think next month for May, Patrick Kay, who's with Economic Development
Sure.
in the city, said Made in Griffin, M-A-Y apostrophe D. So maybe that will deal with Made in Griffin products, you know,
Cool.
some things like that. So there's just so much that when you talk about all the visitors you have, the people of this community are what make this community.
Absolutely.
They're very welcoming. They're very pleasant. So as you see people leaving downtown or a restaurant or a gas station, and you smile and you say hello to them, we all have the opportunity to be ambassadors.
Be ambassadors, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, Matt, we'll go to break, but I'm going to tell you something about Plains real quick. If I'd have gone to Plains first, I might not have come to Griffin, because there's a Mercantile downtown that has homemade peanut butter ice cream, which is the absolute best thing I've ever eaten in my life. So now that I'm hungry for it, with that said, Tony, let's go to our break. We'll come back and do some finish-up things.
Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realty, proud supporters of the University of Georgia Griffin campus, and proud to bring you this week's edition of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. As the UGA Griffin campus grows with the great educational opportunities for our children, Round Oak Resources Tree Farm is growing our future with trees to support and assist our environment. Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors are proud supporters of the UGA Griffin campus and area youth activities in Griffin and Spalding County.
In announcements from the University of Georgia Griffin campus, the Dundee Cafe at the historical UGA Mule Barn is happy to announce From the Farm as the new vendor. Culinary artist Marcy Bradbury will be heading up the cafe in the newly renovated facility, and the doors will be open to the public very soon. The Dundee Cafe sits in the heart of the UGA Griffin campus and will be a welcoming place to meet and eat for the entire community. The renovation of the 100-year-old Mule Barn was made possible through a gift from the Dundee Community Association. Dundee Mills operated in Griffin for over a century in the area across from the Experiment Station, which is now the University of Georgia Griffin campus. Announcements for the grand opening will be made soon. A special financial planning symposium advising and mentoring minority students for success is scheduled for tomorrow from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. at Stuckey Auditorium on the UGA Griffin campus. Faculty, staff, and leaders in the financial planning industry will come together to exchange ideas, to network, and to discuss ways to promote overall diversity in financial planning through the UGA Griffin campus of the College of Family and Consumer Science. For more information on tomorrow's event, please call 770-412-4400. Deadline for summer graduate classes is May the 1st. Call the UGA Griffin Campus for Academic Affairs for more information. That number is 770-412-4400. Feel free to schedule a UGA Griffin Campus tour. Visit the campus website to schedule a tour and learn all about the available degrees at the University of Georgia offered here in Griffin, or if you like, schedule a time to come out and see the wonderful aspects of the campus. Visit www.griffin.uga.edu and click the campus tour link. For information on degrees offered at the University of Georgia Griffin campus and information on current undergraduate and graduate degrees offered through five university colleges, visit that website, griffin.uga.edu. The Griffin Campus Research and Education Garden, located at 129 West Ellis Road, is bursting with blooms as spring season has arrived. Be sure to stop by, bring a lunch, take a stroll, or snap a few photos of one of Griffin's most beautiful tourist stops. The garden is open daily and free to the public. And the campus store, located on the first floor of the Flint Building at 1109 Experiment Street, has new University of Georgia and Georgia Bulldog items arriving weekly. The shelves are stocked with officially licensed UGA apparel, souvenirs, and gifts. The store hours for the campus are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Dot the I's and cross the T's on this week's University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. Here is our host, Dr. Lou Honeycutt.
Thank you, Tony. We're back again. We've been having a lot of fun. We, you know, the hour passes so fast for me. This is one of the few hours a day I get to just be Lou and just have fun, so I love it. But we've been talking with Bonnie Frogner, Griffin Spalding Chamber of Commerce Tourism Committee and former Chamber of Commerce Executive Director, and Art Kane, Coordinator, UGA Griffin Campus Department of Continuing Ed. And before we left, Art, you said something great, and I love the word collaboration in just in every aspect of it, unless it's negative collaboration, like with a foreign country or something. I guess I should say that, not every aspect of the word. But in this instance, we're going to talk a positive, talk collaboration between UGA Griffin Continuing Ed, or UGA Griffin, and the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, we have been fortunate. The Chamber has been our partner. We couldn't do what we do without the relationship we have with the Chamber and other groups in Griffin. The attitudes are so positive. I don't think I've ever called the Chamber and asked for information or materials that they have not provided. And so it helps us, because when visitors come to campus, we want to distribute materials that tell people about Griffin, about, you know, things that they can do, things that they can see. And so that is just part of a great community relationship and partnership with our campus and with our office. I could mention a few more groups.
Sure.
We have a great relationship with Parks and Recs here. We do some joint programming with those. We've had two Spalding, we do their maintenance and management school.
Right.
And, you know, a number of other of just events. Spalding Collaborative, Griffin Housing Authority.
Exactly.
So there are just a number of groups within the community that we work with. And it, while I mentioned earlier that we work with campus units, internal campus units, but what we do also is to work with community groups, community organizations to be able to have various events on campus.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that, talking about the internal units for a minute, we'd be remiss if we didn't brag on some of those, because, and I depend on that too, but we have an incredible facilities and grounds crew and that keep the campus looking beautiful.
Absolutely.
And it's become even more important. I am really anal about the way the campus looks, and it drives everyone insane. But if you take care of the little things, they don't ever get to be big things. And so, but facilities and grounds, they just rise to the occasion. And I'm not saying because I've come here, but I'm saying in my time here, our campus has just, we rarely have people on that don't say, this is one of the most beautiful places I've been. It's very relaxing. It's very inviting. And the collaborations have been there for decades with people coming on campus and having events. When I first got here, I was standing in the Stuckey Auditorium with someone who said to me, it's just a shame we don't do more out here on campus. I'm like, well, but you're here. Did someone stop you from coming in? Well, no. I'm like, so quit saying that. Yeah. We are doing things. We just need to promote those more. And that's what we're doing now, is talking about the 32,500 people and that the majority of those are from outside the fences, as people would like to call them. But I have to say, when I first came here, a lot of times the gates wouldn't open or they would stay closed. And it seemed kind of, they don't happen anymore. We fixed that.
But the collaboration and the cooperation between the groups and the campus and all our educational facilities and everything, it is truly what makes it work, and it's going to take all of us to do it. One person, two people can't do it on their own, and we have to learn to depend on one another and not be saying, well, I don't need them. I mean, we need each other. So I think the best is yet to come.
I agree, and I think that's such a great point that you make, because I don't hear people say much anymore, whether I'm at a city or a county event or campus event, we've never done that before. I don't know if we can do that. It's that kind of, we kind of pass that now. It's, let's try this and see if it works. And during my interview process, I said the words which I continue to say today: there is no UGA Griffin campus without the community. There just isn't. You can't succeed in higher education if you don't have the support of the community. I'm proud to tell you, since 1888, because it's before we opened, we have had the support of Griffin Spalding County, and I'm so proud that we continue to.
And the PIC building.
And the food PIC. Oh, absolutely. You know, we wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have food PIC without the economic development folks here in town, David Lucky and his group, coming up with that seed $1 million that made it happen. I mean, and in return, we're able to give back. We're doing sensory things and testing for Maricon Vinegar, one of our large industrial partners in the industrial park. I mean, there's always this give and take and partnership that we need to brag about.
Well, that's interesting, because you mentioned Maricon Vinegar, because you go to the grocery store, it's on the shelf there.
Absolutely.
Hey, those are products that maybe
right here in little old Griffin, America. Well, listen, we're out of time. I could talk to you all day, and let's just sit here and talk for a couple more hours off air. But we have been visiting today with Bonnie Frogner, Griffin Spalding Chamber of Commerce Tourism Committee and former Chamber of Commerce Director, and Art Kane, coordinator of the UGA Griffin Department, Campus Department of Continuing. Yeah, thank you both for being here so much. Thank you both for what you do for the campus and the community. And Bonnie, in your retirement with quotes, again, you're one of the busiest people I know, and I appreciate that every time I see you out. And so I guess, Tony, with that, we'll call it a day and be back here next week.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. Dr. Lou will take a 167-hour break. He'll be back next Thursday, April the 11th, at this same time from 9 to 10 a.m. for the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News.